AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Guys, it's been, I think, a little over a week now, and I can't thank you enough for all the kind words and the great feedback on this special. I am going to sit here and pat myself on the back. I went from almost being killed to releasing this special, and it's been a 2.5 year labor of love, and we crushed it. I found every single person to work on this within a single dad budget, living in this expensive ass city of Los Angeles. And I'm going to say we crushed it. We did. This is nothing like my last special. This special is special. It's a bit of a one-man show, a retelling of a near-death experience, live and alive, streaming on my YouTube now. And go give it some extra love, because YouTube demonetized it. Within 2 days, somebody complained about it. They took it out of the algorithm. We fought. They got us back in there, but it's already killed the momentum. So it is what it is. Go over there. Tell everyone, share everyone, like, comment, help to get back in that algorithm, all right? And while you're there, go to the store, all right? Go to ryansickler.com, click on the merch. We got a fall clearance sale going on right now. You're going to get a free t-shirt and 3 free gifts with every apparel purchase. We got $10 tees and hats. We got $20 hoodies and pants. That's joggers, that's night pants. I'm telling you, you're not going to find this sale anywhere else. Get it now. When they're gone, they're gone. Christmas is coming. Go to the merch store now. Get your Fuck Steve shirts. Get your Honeydew merch. Go get it now.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm starting this one like I start them all, by saying thank you. Thank you for supporting this show. Thank you for supporting anything I do. Thank you for supporting the new special up. If you haven't seen my new special, go watch it on YouTube right here. It's free. Shot of comedy on state. Go check it out. And if you got to have more, then you got to have the Patreon. It's this show right here. It's the Honeydew with y'all. And y'all have the wildest stories I promise you'll ever hear on the internet. We've been doing it for years. It's $5 a month. It's never been higher than $5 a month. It is a cup of coffee a month for hundreds of wild episodes. So if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you sent it before, send it again. Bump it to the top. We would love to do an episode with you. That's the biz. You know what we're doing here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to have this guest with us here today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome David Koechner. Welcome to the Honeydew, David Koechner.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Long time coming.
It has.
Yeah.
Before we get into anything today, please, right there, promote everything and anything you would like.
David Koechner. So it's K-O-E-C-H-N-E-R. So follow me on Instagram and TikTok. I guess Facebook is still alive, but that you'll get all my dates. So it's November. I can't remember, quite honestly, right now what I'm doing, but go to my Instagram. You'll see all of those on there.
You have a website with your dates as well?
I have a website on there too. Yes, David Koechner. There you go. Thank you so much.
DavidKoechner.com?
Yes, .com.
All right.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
You got live dates. You're out there on the road.
Always on the road. I think I changed the tour name to the Never Ending Tour.
That's, well, hey, yeah. Yes, good and bad, right?
We spoke earlier. I have 5 kids, and you know, 2 of them are still in school. So keep it going, baby.
We're going to get into all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to push out there right now?
I did. I'm doing 3 movies. Can't talk about them, of course, till they come out. So things are good. Things are good. Here's one.
You're in everything.
Dude. I try.
I love it.
There's a really good one called Ganymede. It's an interesting name. Ganymede. Now, here's it's a genre bender. It's a gay coming of age story with a horror twist, and it's a drama, and I play this super nasty preacher, and it is not to be missed. It's so good. It's on Hulu right now and Amazon Prime. Check it out.
I mean, you're a comedic legend, obviously, and you've worked with other comedic legends. Do you prefer these days comedy or drama? Like, what do you?
I don't. I'm not going to have a preference. I'm going to be better at comedy. There's no question. There's no question. It has to be the right drama because I remember.
This character specifically is something you were like, I got this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A nasty preacher from a small town, and he's got a southern accent. Do you think maybe I can do it? Do you? Sickler? Yeah, sick. Because he's a sick man. So, yeah, when it's the right thing, you know, I will say this. I auditioned for, because I have to audition for dramas and sometimes comedies. And boy, it's hard to keep that ego in check, isn't it?
I mean, I gotta look, I hear you loud and clear on that. But it, like, if you're looking for a David Koechner type, can we just fucking see if he's available and interested, please?
And you know what? You know
I mean, come on,
you don't want to tell your agents no. I auditioned for this comedy and I was like, okay. And I did pretty well with it, I thought. And it was set in New York. Well, you hired a guy from New York. Yeah. Why? Look, I don't. It's not a waste of my time. I'm grateful. But I wasn't. Come on, guys. Come on. Then you hate to be that guy, but you go, no, if you don't know what I do, then I can't help you. Now, there was a drama I auditioned for, and my son helped me with it. And I worked on it pretty well. And, didn't get it. I'm like, okay, probably going to be a real tough guy that we've seen a million times.
Yeah.
No, some guy I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
My son, the movie actually didn't turn out very well. I was very disappointed. I was like, wow. Because I'd seen another, I don't want to give it away anyway, but then the scene came up. And I'm like, that's the scene. And we watched it. I'm like, well, this guy wasn't special. I was like, Charlie, my audition was better than that. He goes, yeah, Pops, it was. And he would tell me, he would go, no, he's doing. I was like, wow. And I know I didn't get it. If I walk onto your screen, there's an expectation. It's not going to be a heavy dude, you know? So anyway, that was probably one like, they're not going to give it to me.
They're also not going check to. The credits and see if there's some last matching names. You know what I mean? Some matching last names
going on in there. Yeah. Anyway.
I want to say this real quick. My PT, Aaron Park. What's up, Aaron Park? Loves you too. And he told me yesterday.
PT, what's PT?
Physical therapist.
Oh, thank you.
He works me out.
Yes, yes.
He was like, oh, I love him. He said that you were in one of his favorite movies, and he's older like me, and he said it was a snowboard movie
yes.
or something.
Out Cold.
That's what he said. Out Cold. He said he's in one of these movies.
Yep.
He goes, you ever hear the snowboard movie Out Cold? I said, no, I haven't. I remember Hot Dog, like the ski, but Out Cold, you're in that one, yeah.
It came out in 2000, so you know how this
25
goes.
Years ago,
when you are in high school and that movie comes out, that's the thing that sets your introduction to comedy, and you will always love it. Even
that's
later, you're like,
sure.
That's not very sophisticated, but whatever, you know? Yeah.
So let's get to know you. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in a very small town in central Missouri called Tipton, T-I-P-T-O-N. Yes, there are seven Tiptons. Iowa, Illinois, Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska. None of them are related.
Is that right? There are Tipton, seven Missouri. Tiptons around the United States?
Unrelated. So it is about 35 miles north of the Lake of the Ozarks. We're all familiar with the show The Ozarks. So it's dead center. Closest movie theater is 45 miles away in Jefferson City, Missouri. So I grew up there in the small town. Yeah.
Have you ever performed in Yakov Smirnov's?
His theater down there?
Yeah.
I did the Blue Note.
Yeah. Oh, in Blue St. Louis.
Yeah. No. Down in Springfield.
Oh, there's another one there?
It's Blue something. Blue Room. Whatever it is. Well, yeah. And Yakov has a podcast and he came up and did my thing.
So are you also from a big family? You have five kids. Are you from a big family?
I'm one of six.
You're one of six.
My mother was one of 11.
Damn.
My dad was one of nine. My mother grew up in a Irish Catholic family. How Irish? My mother's one of 11. Out of those 11, there are two priests and two nuns.
No.
Do you think I was raised Catholic?
A little bit, bro.
Brother, we didn't go. Are you Catholic?
I am. Okay. We had a nun in the family, a great aunt, Sister Carmina.
Yeah, right.
And we had to, you know, you like we, she'd make us go to church, and then we couldn't go get the communion unless we did our, and we're like, come on, sister, we don't do that. And she's like, you're going to go. What is it? Repent.
Confession.
Yeah. We had to go to confession before you received the, you know,
communion. We're supposed to go through the whole process take the sacrament.
Well, I'm baptized. I have my communion. I've got my confirmation. Yeah. I got the paperwork.
As far as
if it ends up being real, I got the documents. You know what I'm saying? I got.
You seen Carl Sagan's Mites on a Plum?
Mm-mm.
Kirsten.
Mites on a Plum.
Mites on a Plum. It's in 3 minutes. Like, oh, okay. I'll just think about that. Carl Sagan, Mites on a Plum. It's a bad Sagan, but I'll try. He talks about the idea that we are the center of the universe, that thought. We are merely mites on a plum. And he goes, oh, the thing that blew my mind, that I'd never, you know, I hadn't read any of his books. He said there's probably multiple universes. This is a universe that we pretend we're the center of.
And it's the only one.
Right.
Yeah.
It's delicious. Mites on a plum. Anyway.
So you're raised Catholic.
Catholic. So very Catholic.
And, are you like in the church? Are you altar boy?
Currently, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah, do all that stuff.
So you're not just are you Sunday school as well? Well, catechism.
Well, you do all that in Catholic grade school. So we had.
Oh, so you went to elementary? So I went to regular public school, but I did Sunday school.
Yeah,
I'm a part-time Catholic for sure. Easter, Christmas, and funerals.
I think I got to check with my sister Mary Rose, but I think we went to church every morning before school. So was I tired of it? Brother. So yeah, very Catholic. I would say my parents' worldview is Catholicism. So I would say, so we are a mainframe, and the software they run and put into me was Catholicism. Like, that's a very narrow software. Anyway, so small town. Do you want me to just tell the whole story?
Yeah.
Okay. Small town. I'm the third of six. My father grew up on a farm outside of Tipton. My mother grew up at a farm outside of Kansas City, a place called Plattsburgh. And they grew up very poor. My dad, they're, you know, whatever, just farmers. So they got married, moved to Tipton. My dad moved my mom to Tipton. Don't think she was very happy about it. Years later, you find it like, oh, you didn't like your in-laws. Wow. And that's all she had there. Anyway, my father was a manufacturer. He manufactured livestock trailers for turkeys. I don't say turkey coops because they're like, well, like in your backyard. No. On a 40-foot trailer. It's welded onto the trailer. It's not something cute or stupid in the backyard. No one raises turkeys in the backyard. Okay? Not funny. Oh, you know what? Why don't you do a bald joke? Oh, good. Oh, God, I'm devastated. Anyway, so I started working for my father when I was 7 years old. Did I like it? No.
What are you doing?
At that point, so it's a manufacturing plant. So there's multiple shears and saws, welders. So I would pick up the scraps around the shears to begin with. Also, he used to sell several items like gas barrel stands, probably not a reference, farrowing crates, all this stuff that required a number of bolts to be packaged in with the stuff that they shipped out. So I'd count the nuts and the bolts, stuff like that. He's like, I'm not going to pay someone $8 an hour to do that when I'll do it for 25 cents. Anyway, I will say this. My brother and I used to have to work Saturday mornings, half Saturday. So I resented it. Yeah. But I've never drawn an unemployment check in my life.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Good for you.
So
I can't say that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. So he gave me that. You know, I still have a callus. Every time I'm on a set and I see a Teamster and, you know, I'm not a soft guy. When you get a callus, it's for life, right? That's, yeah, they're like, oh, you put some work in.
Nice
okay.
pads on
okay.
his hands. Yeah.
So then 106, we've got a modest Catholic grade school, public high school. It's not a curious place. There's not a lot of a vigorous exchange of ideas.
How do your parents meet from Tipton in Kansas City?
My dad was working for his brother in Cameron, Missouri, near Plattsburgh. My uncle had a landscape, a bulldozing business, basically, big construction, whatever. And so my dad saw my mom in a bar, and he's talking to some guy at the bar. And he goes, who's that girl over there with the small ears? And the guy goes, I don't know her. Turns out it was her brother.
Nah.
Yes. And he's like, I don't want this guy to meet my sister. Yeah. Anyway, so they meet, start courting. That's the word they used. Mm-hmm. And then, got married. And so, my mother had three kids in 3 years. Mark, Mary Rose, and David in 3 years. And Mark had a tough infancy. He had an exploded appendix, and they thought there was going to be long-term consequences. So you've got a worried mother who keeps having kids. Dad is working at their first shop. We called it the shop, this first plant, probably 70 hours a week.
Damn.
Yeah, he'll work.
And what size house are you guys
that
living
one,
in?
We rented that little farmhouse, probably, I bet it's a two-bedroom, although it did have one upstairs. Maybe three bedrooms.
How many people total then? You're saying one, eight
at that
total?
Point, oh, at that point, yeah. No, we moved when I was five to town.
Oh, yeah. Into Tipton? Into Tipton. Into officially in, city limits.
And so, I knew early I'm different. You don't think of it that way, but you're like, doesn't everyone want to get out of here?
Different from your family or everyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one or two people. You're like, okay. But I knew. I have a very distinct memory when I was 10 years old. I walked around the west side of my house by myself, having one of those pensive moments. And I'm like, yeah, I got to go. I don't know where, but I got to live in a city. I'm leaving. And so I made that decision. I remember making it right now. And that was it. I'm leaving. So you don't tell people. When I was 13, I knew I was going to be on Saturday Night Live. I know that sounds egotistical and arrogant, but it's not. Now, I just had a belief. I want to do that. And now, this is a show that my parents would not have let me watch.
This is what I was going to ask, too, right?
They went out dancing on Saturday nights, and I watched my three younger siblings. And so I put them to bed and watched Saturday Night Live. Now, in the Midwest, it came on at 10:30.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And who's the cast when you're watching original. Then? The original.
Yep.
Okay.
I remember the live commercials for Saturday Night Live.
Did they do live commercials?
Mumbly peg is when you put your hand down like this and you take a knife and you bop, 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 without looking at it.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase did Mumbly Peg live.
As a commercial?
I was like, whoa, what's going on? This is the most amazing, fascinating thing you've ever seen in my life. Now, that's one. But then I was just enamored with the show. But then one Saturday night, I had put the kids to bed and I came back to a movie. It's on. I'm like, oh, this looks like a scary movie. It's just dark and you see fog. And then something's coming over the hill. Clock, 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 clock. It's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And it blew my mind. I couldn't believe something could be this funny and this smart. I was just like, well, that's it. I'm sold. I'm doing that. So, yeah. So that's what but now again, I didn't tell anybody, probably one or two people.
Well, here's something interesting you said too. You said, I put the kids to bed. You sound like a parent there. I mean, but growing up, taking care of siblings, do you think that played a part in wanting a bigger family?
No.
Wanting to be a dad?
I was not a kind brother.
Oh.
I wasn't getting my needs weren't getting met at home the way that I needed them. I don't blame my parents because they couldn't know. And so I would probably brutishly put them to bed and yell and scream. And my sister forgave me.
Is that right?
I was very tough on my sister, Cecilia. And years later, she said, Dave, I forgive you. I know you're mad at mom and dad. I was like.
Somebody went and did some work too, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah. But this all culminates in a rejection of, the software, the Catholicism and the church and all that stuff. And so take it easy. We all get our paths. You can stay with your religion. I can choose mine. We all get to do whatever. Mine is me.
Listen, people ask me about my religion all the time. And I say this, I 100% believe in God.
Right.
Okay. Whatever that is to you. You know,
you choose.
I don't believe in the God that I was taught through the Catholic Church, but I'm no fool to believe to be ignorant enough to not know something higher is going
right.
on.
Right. Something here. Like, come on, man.
Okay.
Look at this. Yeah.
But the Catholic Church is the reason I turned against the Catholic Church, not because of anything I've read. Being in that institution and then watching what those people have done to children, to the. That was enough for me to say, hey, I'm a spiritual person, but this organized religion here is fuck this shit, man.
Here's the thing for me that's interesting. The major organized religions, let's say Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Those are the three majors. Now, we also have Buddhism, which is not an institute. It's a way of life. That's, you don't have these organizations, right? Those are, have I missed one? Those three are the three most
prominent, sure. Right.
All of them, women are second-class citizens. Why would you participate in that?
That's children are not even.
Oh, God. It's a fallacy from the start. Come on, gang. So whatever. Let's start there. Well, Adam gave Eve his rib. That's a metaphorical story that didn't actually happen. And written by a man, by the way. Come on. Anyway.
Also, I'm 13 years old. I can't touch it.
I know.
What do you mean I got to burn in hell?
You can't masturbate.
I mean, please. Yeah. What are you talking? My body is screaming at me right now.
I remember asking my mother if it's really a sin.
Yeah.
And she said yes.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
So, it's impossible. You can't even live in your own body.
So this is the question I wanted to ask you is when you leave Tipton, you also leave Catholicism. It's not like you, just because you leave home doesn't mean you leave, you know, your religion, but you did as well.
Guess where I had to go to college? A Catholic school. My mother's brother, Abbot Brendan, was the abbot of the monastery at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas.
Good God.
Now, they weren't linked anymore. They used to be monastery, but it's still that school. So that's the only place I had a choice. I didn't have a choice. That's there. So I remember being a freshman in college and sitting in the church in an afternoon. I said, I need something. I need something here. I need a sign that I stay here. And I'm sorry, I got to put you on the watch. And I waited for a while, and then I left, and that's all there was.
How long did you stay?
Day in the church?
No, I mean, how long college?
Year? I had to do 2 years at Benedictine.
Okay.
And then I went to University of Missouri for a year.
Okay.
And I'd always wanted to do, theater and comedy. I was a poli-sci major because my parents weren't going to pay for a theater degree. And so I stopped going to classes. Then I visited a friend in Chicago, saw the Second City, saw that they taught classes. I'm like, well, okay. And so that's what happened. So I quit going to school, worked three jobs there in Columbia, Missouri, saved my money, moved up to Chicago.
Okay, great. And then you start in Second City then? That's where you're...
I was very fortunate. I did, but I did the I.O. first, the Improv Olympic.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm so thankful that I did because that was the real good business. That made me the best of who I am. And so then I would take Second City at the same time. So I would be in class. I was in class or on stage 5 days a week. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
It really is Gladwell's 10,000 hours. Put the time in. Yeah. And I happen to come to, I know I'm talking a lot, but
yes,
I came
you're
to
supposed
town.
To.
So a lot of us, when we were 13, SNL came on. Mm-hmm. All of us moved to Chicago. Colbert, Carell, Adam McKay, Poehler, Faye. There are 15 writers in late night that you probably know, but your viewers don't, that have informed our comedy for the last 25, 30
years. Listen, I dated a girl who came through the Chicago scene, Improv Olympic, and one night we're just sitting and watching TV and she's like, there's this one. This is during the, and then it cuts to commercial and she goes, and her and him. I looked at her. I said, until I met you and you've literally, I had no idea that Chicago was that fucking
was
deep.
Dude.
It's deep.
So I got Saturday Night Live. And then Bernie Sollins, who
was. What year was your Saturday
Night? 95, 96, okay. One season. Bernie Sollins, who established Second City in 57, wanted to have dinner with me. I'd done a play with him, but suddenly, people want to have dinner with you. And he said he'd never seen a confluence of talent like it had been there the last 10 years. And it's true. You don't know your worker the best. Farley and I started on the same day. Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So you've got all these people that are going to be stars or difference makers in the medium. And so you just think they're good people. So yeah, I was very fortunate to be there the entire time. And I'll say this, and I'll shut my mouth. We all went to be good. And we thought the consequence of being good was fame would probably come. Doesn't matter. The difference is then 10 years later, people don't want to go to be good. They want to be famous.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is a big difference. I see a lot of that in comedy too now, where it's not the people coming up. It's like, hey, I want fame. And it's like, if you're getting into comedy for money, good fucking luck.
Yeah.
It doesn't come for, if it does at all, a long time. And you know that.
Yep. And guess what? The good thing about comedy is you know right away. You either got it or you don't. Like, I don't know how actors can do it. How, why are you, you both seem to be the same attractiveness.
And 10 of you guys all look alike to me right now. Yeah.
What, how is the, which one's going to be the better actor? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now, comic, we do it. We go out there and you're going to laugh and that's the way it goes. And that's why I get the check. Yeah.
Let me ask you this though. As a, so we're going back to 13 here.
David I've had Koechner. A lot of coffee, by the way. Go ahead.
You're believing this whole time I'm going to get on SNL.
Yeah.
And you're also going against your religion, what your family would support, all of this stuff. When you get that fucking, how do you get notified that you got it?
Okay, so.
95, 96, no, internet's just starting. Yeah, well, you get a call?
Yeah, what happens is you go out for your first audition. Now, here's, this is going to sound arrogant, but it's not. I had a belief, and I'm like, this is going to happen. And so I go out for the first audition. And you're not going to believe it. I improvised the audition.
You did?
Yeah.
You didn't have to send a submission in or anything?
Oh, no, no. I would go flown out. They had seen me in Chicago. Okay. So they fly out the people they want to see. And so I had to do a political impression. Who'd you do? I did James Buchanan.
Okay.
Because we have about the same voice. James Buchanan. He wasn't going to be, you know, this is like people, they were, this is going to be an election year. So they knew who he was. And I did Jim Carrey and who else in a buddy comedy? Walter Matthau's a partner. Come on.
Grumpy Old Man?
Oh, yeah, but the other, I can't think of his name.
Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon, yeah. Thank you. Oh, boy. I did a very bad Jack Lemmon and Jim Carrey in a buddy comedy.
Okay.
And it was just horrible. But it didn't matter. It was enough. Because I knew.
They cut you on the spot?
No. Then you wait and you get a call back for a second audition.
Okay.
I wrote the second audition. Okay. I did five different characters, like almost in a staged play in a way. And I was, dude, I was in the zone. It was mine. I had no nerves. The room's cold, whatever.
Isn't it you in that?
8H.
And how many people are up in there? Like four or
Everyone
five,
Everyone has
right?
different stories. Yeah. Four or five at the
Not
most.
Not many.
Yeah. I mean, years later, I heard someone say there's a bunch of writers in the room. There's nobody in the room. Mm-hmm. There's Lauren walking around doing this. Might be one or two people. You know you're not getting it last. Thing I didn't know, and I'm glad I didn't know it, it's being live streamed to everybody that works at NBC.
Oh, shit.
That would have freaked me out. But anyway, dude, I go and I do it. I knew it. Then you called out for a third meeting. So at the meeting, you either get the job or you don't. Mm. I don't know how many people don't get the job in that meeting. But I knew I had it. But I heard about the guy, this our same class, was this guy that had was we all thought he was from England because all he talked about is a British accent, right? Turns out he tells him on that day he's not British. He didn't get the job. Yeah. Yeah. Like, dude, really? Oh. Yeah, you don't fool Lauren Michaels. You make him look like a fool,
yeah,
you
bro,
dumbass.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, anyway. So, yes, got the job. And then led to my own demise because a friend of mine said, you know, you don't suffer fools gladly, which is true. I can't. If I don't like you, you're going to know it. If I don't respect you, you're going to know it. I mean, we're in this business, but really, you shouldn't be here. Anyway, I do the show, and it's unbelievable how they don't take care of their fucking prisoners.
Like, what do you mean?
Vince McMahon, for all of his failures, and there are many, he's apparently a horrible guy, he gets his wrestlers over. You have a plan to get your wrestler over. You just go, see what happens. Fight for the – it's literally Lord of the Flies, and it shouldn't be. It's dumb. It's really stupid. You've got a really stupid, that's why when your show suffers, it's because you run it poorly. There you go. What are you going to do to me? Nothing. That's the way it works. It works for some people. Now, here's the thing I had said to myself. It's a 6-year contract. I said to myself, I'm not staying 6 years. I'm going to leave after 3. I already said that to my mind.
Let's go back for 1 second. What is it like when you fucking, you get that? Because this is a guy who has, like, you rolled a lot of dice here, and you've left a lot of family, religion, all that. To not get it would be, but you get it.
To not get it wasn't even, I
wasn't
never
even
get
on.
No. I was getting it.
How did you feel? Did you feel justified?
Validated. Or, yep. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah. Here we go.
As the course of action should be. Mm-hmm. Of course. Now, a buddy of mine said, Dave, find the target and hit it. I didn't go, what do you mean? I said, oh, okay, whatever. No, dumbass. You've got to have a fucking method here. It's not just going to happen. Now you're in it.
There's you've no got more to, wing in it.
You've got to fucking captain your boat. And I didn't. Very well.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Booking.com. I've got to say, if you're looking to grow your vacation rental business, this is the place to be. Booking.com is one of the most downloaded travel apps in the world, and for good reason. Since 2010, they've helped over 1.8 billion vacation rental guests find places to stay. That's billion with a B. But here's the thing. Most vacation rental hosts don't even realize they can list their properties on Booking.com. And if you're not on the platform, your rental is basically invisible to millions of Booking.com travelers worldwide. After all, they can't book what they can't see, right? But once you start listing on Booking.com, your property gets seen by a massive global audience of unique travelers. That means more visibility, more bookings, and more opportunity to accelerate the growth of your rental business. And it couldn't be any easier. You can register your property in as little as 15 minutes, and nearly half of hosts get their first booking within a week. So, if your vacation rental isn't listed on Booking.com, it could be invisible to millions of travelers searching the platform. Don't miss out on consistent bookings and global reach. Head over to Booking.com and start your listing today. Get seen, get booked on Booking.com. Guys, my old wallet was honestly one of the things that was giving me back problems. It was so thick and fat. I'd sit like this. Everything was a pain. All right. And then came the Ridge Wallet, and I got mine right there. Boom. Baltimore Ravens Ridge Wallet, y'all. Ridge took their unique, slim, and modern wallets and made them even better with the Ridge 2.0. It's 10% lighter and more modular with improved cash straps, money clips, and AirTag attachments. This thing holds up to 12 cards plus cash. Over 50 colors and styles to choose from. You can even get a wallet that features every NFL, MLB, or college team. Perfect for holiday gifting, especially since Ridge is having their biggest sale of the year right now. Listen, I'm just going to say, if you're looking for a new wallet, I promise you, this is like my fourth one, and I gift them. All right, this is the best wallet out there. Plus, all Ridge wallets have a new industry-leading built-for-life warranty, so even if your wallet is lost or stolen, they've got you covered. For a limited time, Ridge is having their huge Black Friday sale. Head to RIDGE.com to get up to 47% off your order. This is by far the biggest discount they've given all year. That's Ridge.com for up to 47% off your order during their biggest sale of the year. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them our show sent you. You guys know I love my night pants, but you know what else I've been loving lately? Rag & Bone's denim jeans. Rag & Bone's have created an infused denim jean that's just as comfy as it is reliable and sleek, and it's offered in a variety of shades, so there's something for every occasion. Right here. Look at these. Rag & Bone denim, 3432, y'all. Great jeans. They have great clothes. This is their hoodie right here. It's a quality, nice, thick hoodie. Really good, warm, especially coming up for that fall. Rag & Bone's infused collection overdoes it by design. They use a meticulous 8-step process to create multi-dimensional washes from indigo and black for work or evening wear to lighter vintage-inspired blues for casual weekends. They also offer a range of fits tailored for any style from slim and straight to athletic and relaxed. They're a wardrobe staple that pairs perfectly with any outfit. You don't have to choose between what's reliable and what looks great any longer. Rag & Bone's is built with premium materials and craftsmanship. So these jeans are made to last not just for a season, but for years, which means you're not just upgrading your look today, you're leveling up your entire wardrobe for the long haul. It is time to upgrade your denim with Rag & Bone. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off their entire order with code HONEYDEW at rag-bone.com. That's 20% off at rag-bone.com with promo code HONEYDEW. When they ask where you heard about them, please support our show. Let them know we sent you. Now, let's get back to the do.
Now, I had a very successful year. I had four recurring characters, political impressions. I got airtime, you know. Jay Moore, God bless him, gasping for airtime. I wasn't gasping. You wanted more, but I had a solid season. No reason to not pick me up. there were two people that didn't cotton to me. One was a producer from NBC, and another one was a writer on the show. So those people, I'd said something disparaging about the writer, and it's true. I'd said something, come on, right? But his buddy didn't say anything to me at the time. Like, that's my friend. He pouts for 2 weeks, then goes, tells the guy, and he made it his mission to get me off the show. Fucking children. Come on, man. Come to me. Go, hey, motherfucker, I heard you said shit. I did, and I was wrong. And I'll apologize. And you've done this and this and this. Now we're talking. No, let's just get the smallest part of ourselves. Anyway, so that was that. But I was very fortunate in that I got an exit interview with Lorne. Nobody does. I did.
What do you mean?
I got to say goodbye.
You talked did. To him. He wanted to sit down with you?
Well, I asked, and he said yes. Okay. And we talked. Dave, you're an artist. Don't change that. And I thought, so you don't want artists here? Dave, Bill Murray would never do a sitcom. So that's the type of like, what is this weird advice? So I avoided sitcoms, which was dumb, right? Anyway, dude, I fell forward the whole time. So here we are.
And what kind of, I know the hours are crazy. Are you just burning a candle at both ends?
I'm built for that, dude. Go, let's go. Yeah. And then go drink.
So let's talk about that.
Oh, boy.
Is that where drinking starts for you?
No.
Not the problem with drinking.
Well, I started when I was 10.
10?
Yeah.
Well, shit, you're 3 years into your dad's business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm getting drunk in eighth grade. Oh, yeah.
Drunk in eighth
grade.
I'm
a good Catholic. Buddy, hey, dude, this body must have a constitution. Because I tell you what, I put it down, brother.
What did you get a hold of at 10?
Somebody bought Strawberry Hill and Easy Nights. Strawberry Hill, Boone's Farm, Strawberry Hill, TJ Swan, Easy Nights, and also Steppin' Out. And so we drink wine. And then eventually, by the time you're a senior, you're drinking beer. And so that was it. Beer.
That was your drink? Yeah. Beer.
Tons of it, baby.
Not liquor.
No. Every once in a while I do liquor, but you're gonna throw up. So just beer. Beer's that fun buzz all day, all night, you know? If you want to cut to that one, so then I'm doing that for whatever, all my life. Tell me, I drank for 50 years.
50?
Yeah.
How, like, what's a day? Every day?
Oh, yeah. Probably. Toward the end, yeah.
So what's a day for you and toward the end? I mean, how many beers are we talking?
Oh, it'd be a mix. So you go, you're hiding now. Now you're an alcoholic.
When do you realize that?
Oh,
11.
Before I was 50.
You did?
Yeah. I'm like, I gotta stop, you know, in my late 40s, gotta stop.
Why?
Slow down.
Why is your conscious talking to you? Are you having health problems? DUIs or any trouble? Yet.
Those are coming.
Don't say that. No,
I already had two. You do not know that? It's not on the big board? I've had two DUIs. We can get there.
I see. They're coming in the story. Okay.
If you want it.
My bad. Yeah.
So in my late 40s, I'm like, yeah, I got a problem. Probably my 30s, I'm like, yeah, but it's fine. God, dude, I don't know how. I imagine what could have happened. If I was sober the whole time, I'd have posters, but it's fine. So late 40s, you know, but I'm in a marriage that's not great, and I got kids and more kids. And so you've got a lot of it. Then it's just maintenance. I need a couple beers after whatever, at the end of the day. So that's just some, you know, cool down beers.
And are your five children all at the same mom?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So I'll tell that one really quickly. We got married, got pregnant within 2 months. Ooh. She had a difficult birth, lost her uterus, still had her ovaries. So we created our own kids with her eggs and my cum. Medical. I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor, Mr. Honeydew. I'm a doctor, Mr. Dew. Paging Dr. Honeydew. Honeydews and honeydonts. So we created embryos and used all of them. We had 11 embryos. We used the first three, got our daughter Margot, and then the other eight were frozen into two groups of four. Thought out the first group of four, got the twins. Thought out the last group of four, got the last kid. There's no more embryos left, but that's why I have five kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
So two are twins. I'm a twin, so.
Oh, well, technically, they all are.
I guess they all are, yeah.
Yeah, they're all created on the same day.
That's interesting. Yeah. Boy, that really starts to fuck with you when you find out when. And I always say that too, the argument about when life begins and whatever. But as a twin, I mean, you're saying life begins in the, am I older? I'm technically not.
Yeah.
My brother's born at one, I'm born at 104.
Yeah.
But I could be the older fetus in the belly.
Yeah.
But I'm determined life begins for me when I come out of my mom's vagina after this guy. I don't fucking get, but I never thought of that. They're all, those are.
They're all
just hatched.
Conceived on the same day.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's how I got that. And then, a difficult marriage. So the drinking increased probably exponentially because of that, for sure. I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming me. Mm-hmm. But it was difficult. And that's a whole different thing and whatever. But then after I went to rehab once when I was married, twice. Didn't stick. Rehab doesn't work, just so you know. It stops you from doing your thing for a month. And then if you don't get into AA, if you don't get in the program, there's no way. I don't see it. You know, I take antabuse, so that helps.
What's that?
It's called disulfiram. If I drink, I'll violently throw up.
Is that right?
Yep. So I don't even think about alcohol.
So it's just that's a deterrent, yes. Then? Is that all it is?
Uh-huh. Well, no. It's an impossibility. You can't drink.
Oh, it's an impossibility.
Oh, yeah. You can drink.
It's not like, Christina P. took Ozempic and ate through it. They're like, yeah, you're not supposed to be able to do that. Yeah. You can't drink through this shit. Huh?
Oh, if you drink, you're going to throw up.
Boom, right away.
Yeah. I've never tested it. What I've done once, well, let's see, because you can sneak an alcoholic.
I didn't know that.
Schemes and bargains, constant. When you're an alcoholic, that's all you're doing all day long, scheming and bargaining. When can I? Now you're hiding because everyone knows you're an alcoholic because you've been to rehab twice, right? So I tried to do disulfiram, and I didn't have anybody making me take the pill. So I'd moved out by this point, I think. And the one I was going to tell a story. So I had taken it for 2 weeks and then I stopped. So a week later, I had a beer and threw up in 20 minutes.
Really?
So it stays in your system.
Okay.
And now I do it, you know, at least 3 days a week. I have one of my best friends, Wes Winberry, shout out. I will either send him a video or we'll do it live on Facebook, FaceTime. And that will be for the balance of my life. Because Wes, if he hasn't heard from me in 4 days, he'll text Pilly Dilly, please. You know,
is he a sponsor or just a friend?
One of my oldest and dearest friends. Yeah, I didn't know you'd cry on this podcast, but I will. So yeah, Wes will never abandon this duty. You know, I would say if Wes didn't hear from me in 2 weeks, and if I didn't pick up the phone, he's gonna fly out from Missouri and go, "Hey, what's up,
man?" That's that's nice.
Yeah, so I take my pill. And you know what I do? It does. I don't think about alcohol because I can't have it. You don't wake up and ever think about stealing a car.
Yeah, not never in my life.
Now that's the same with booze. Of course not. But that's where I am with booze. I don't even think about it because it's not possible. No, I will. I'll tell people. I would today. Here's what would have happened. You know. If you're here or there, I would have started drinking. And if I was already an alcoholic, I'd start hiding and I'd find the way to hide it. I would have had two drinks before breakfast. By the end, you're buying shooters of a Smirnoff or Absolut.
All the little airline little guys.
Why? Get rid of the evidence.
So you just bang. Boom, trash.
Bang those down, coffee. Bang another one down, coffee. I'm good. Got a little buzz. Now, you don't realize... Well, people can see your eyes are glassy, but they don't. They're like, surely not drunk by eight. And I'm not drunk, but I got a little buzz. So, and then what happens there is you have those two. Now, this is at the end. This is at the end. You have those two, and, you know, maybe the kids aren't with me this week, or they're somewhere else. You know, maybe they're moms or whatever. So now, after I do some work of some kind, I can have there's a game? Well, fuck. That's free drinking. I can go get a six-pack of the highest alcohol IPAs. And, of course, two more of the little bangers to finish it off at night. You know, because you're an alcoholic. There's no break. There's no handbrake.
No break.
Yeah, anyway, that's enough of me. Now
what about your health? How's your health?
Remarkably good.
Yeah.
Remarkably well. Although I'm now pre-diabetic. I'm pre-diabetic. Pre-diabetic. Hardest thing to kick is sugar, baby.
That's just Sade's smooth operator. Is that, yeah, I got it. Yes, I got it.
Yeah.
Wait, so hold on. Let's go back to alcohol for a second. So you drinking for, I mean, we're talking about decades. How long have you been sober?
I'll be a year Thanksgiving.
Oh, go out. This is newer then.
Yeah.
Okay, good for you.
I've tried for 10 years.
Is this pill thing new?
No. Pill thing, I've never taken it this sustainably. And it's because of Wes.
But is that a new medication?
I don't know how. You look up antabuse or disulfiram. It's been around for a long time.
It has.
I don't know why people don't do it. In AA, we say there's no cure yet, right?
So you do go to AA?
Oh, yeah. Whatever I can. Online, Zoom, whatever. Although I did one podcast that was a sobriety podcast. He goes, well, you can watch one of the podcasts, and that's a meeting. I'm like, really?
What's replaced alcohol for you now?
Sugar for a while. And then the doctor goes, oh, you can't. What are you doing? You can't do that. Here's how the addiction goes. I would buy Tillamook cookie dough ice cream and then buy Oreo mega stuff. I don't fuck around. Mega stuff. Put that in a heaping bowl. Put five of those on there. Crunch that thing up and get high as a kite, bro.
You just eat that sugar and get that rush. Were you eating sugar like that before the alcohol?
Not as much. Everybody's doing it. Yeah, I've always had that sugar thing, but yeah. So yeah, dude. So yeah, I have no health problems. It's amazing.
And when did you get your first DUI?
Okay. It was right before New Year's 2022.
That's recentish too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've been.
All those years.
That's what they say. Once you finally get one, you could have had one 400 times before or something.
I had been sober for 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. I tell this in my stand-up. I'd been sober for 6 months. It's alcoholics love to change their sobriety date because, you know, I wanted to be January 1st. That's how dumb it was. I did that. Just an excuse to drink because the bear is rattling the cage that hard. So I drank and drove and got a DUI.
Where, out here?
Yeah. Simi Valley. Yeah. Stupid.
How far were you going? How far was the drive?
Oh, it was good miles.
It was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They got you quick?
Yeah. After I got off, I made my exit.
What'd they tell you they got you for?
Oh, I popped a tire. I ran over a curb.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you weren't driving well.
Oh, no. I need to be off the road. Thank God no one got hurt.
Yeah.
So then I was sober again for another 6 months.
So wait, you're going to jail that night? And who let you just go out on your own recognizance next day? Or somebody?
Next day.
Yeah.
Next day I took an Uber.
And does that get publicized everywhere? Your fucking
TMZ,
David Koechner.
You can eat fucking shit. I can't wait till those motherfuckers go down.
All the way out in Simi Valley, they're finding out.
The cops send it to them.
Oh, nah.
I didn't
know that. They work with them.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Someone's going to get a tip line. Get
so
50,
right away.
50, 100 bucks. Yeah.
Is that out before you're even out of jail?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. So then I go back to AA, of course. You're doing your best. The acrimonious relationship with the ex continues. I have to fly to – okay, I had a flight to West Virginia for Comic-Cons because it was during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Clubs are half full, so I was doing Comic-Cons. And I'm a good soldier. My flight from Charlotte didn't make it in, so my flight out to West Virginia won't make it. And I don't want to disappoint people, so I said, you know what? I'll just fly to Columbus and then I'll drive. Flew to Columbus. Now, it's a two-hour drive to this small town in wherever I am in West Virginia. I had drinks on the plane because I'd had a fight with my ex. So I drank on the plane and rented a car. Drove 2.5 hours. 3 miles from my hotel, I'm looking at my phone for the directions, cross the fog line. Woo! After I got my car, I went to a gas station, I bought two tall boy IPAs. And I'm drinking one. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't do that. So I threw it out the window, which wasn't quite all the way down. So it spills in the car.
Then I
throw it out, and I throw the other one out. Yes, I littered.
Okay? He doesn't see it?
No. Then I drive for 2.5 hours.
Oh, I see.
So when I roll down the window, they smell the alcohol. I passed the sobriety test. They didn't give me a breathalyzer out in the field.
What's the test? Just walking?
Yeah, and all the bullshit, this stuff.
Whatever. Everything but blowing the thing.
Yeah. So then they take me to the station. And I'm not, still not, no.
Don't. Why do they take you if you pass?
I don't know. I thought I passed. So then I'm down there, and then this patrolman goes, hey, do you want to take a breathalyzer test? I said, I don't know. And he goes, well, I said, what happens if I don't take it? Well, you can't drive in Ohio for 2 years. And my guess is you don't have to drive in Ohio for 2 years, which I thought was code for don't do it.
That's what I'm here. I'm reading between the lines right now when you're saying it.
It's an automatic OVI, operating vehicle impaired. Well, you didn't tell me that part, motherfucker. Well, let me blow on it and see what the fuck.
So if you don't, then you automatically get this. Oh, so he doesn't tell you that.
How's that look? 2 DUIs in 6 months. And the irony is, sober for most of that year. Do you think it's time to quit? Did I quit? No.
When's the next drink?
I probably went 3 months after that second DUI. Because I was in a relationship and she was, you know, trying to hawkeye me as much as she could. Not going to meetings. So yeah, then you just keep, my thing was I would be sober for 3 months and fall. Have a sponsor. And you know, that's typical. Relapse is part of it, Dave. Relapse is part of it. So then I'd get 4 months sometimes, like, okay, I beat that 90 days. But you know, I keep falling for some excuse because you scheme and you bargain. Then I'm like, I can't, I'm done. So what's the alcoholic say? Thanksgiving seems like a good day. That's it. I'll pick Thanksgiving. But it's working. So that's good.
Is it running the family?
Oh, yeah. My mom was an alcoholic.
Oh, mom is?
Dad was too, but dad had pancreatitis and had to quit at 50. That's the only reason. Otherwise, my dad used to bring home a case and, you know, the lettuce crisper at the bottom of a refrigerator used to have?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the beer would go.
Down there, huh? What did mom like?
7 and 7s.
Oh, okay. That was every day she's drinking those.
You don't know that.
Right. You don't know.
She just quietly got drunk and stoned at night.
Were your parents, are they still alive?
No, they're past. They both made it to 80.
80?
Yeah.
Did you ever talk to them about it? Like later, like you're, where you find out your mom's like, I've been drinking this shit all along? Or?
Oh, no. You don't talk about your shame in Catholicism.
Never?
No.
Even as they got older?
No. She had a heart attack at 57 and was a smoker. So she had to quit smoking and drinking. And then this fucking doctor said, you can have an ounce a day. You don't tell an alcoholic you can have an ounce a day.
Wow. Yeah.
So anyway. But yeah. So, you know, you got to quit. You got to quit. When you got to quit, you know it. Quit. It's okay. You don't think. And that's why they say one day at a time, because you can't quit forever. You got to get through the next 90 seconds. I swear to God. Are you sober?
No, okay. Well, here it is.
You're not an alcoholic.
I quit drinking. I was never really a big drinker anyway.
You're not an alcoholic.
I went through watching. I lived with a girlfriend at the time, and she got a DUI. And at the time, I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, my God, this girl just paid $10,000, lost her license for a year, taking the bus to work. They make you go. I didn't know they made you go to AA classes, and you got to get signatures and all this. And I was like, you know, all of that. And then it's not like that DUI gets wiped off the record after all that. It's still fucking there. And I was like, man, and it dawned on me. This is probably just right around 2005. And I'm like, well, I'm in these clubs. I drink 3 beers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fine to drive home. And then I started thinking, I started seeing everybody was, because this is before Uber and everything. Right. And I'm like, man, if a dog runs out in front of me or something, even if it's not my fault, if I'm stopped, it's on me. Yep. I'm to blame.
3 is a DUI.
And boom.
Yeah.
And so that started my slow. And then with all the health issues I had a few years ago with clotting and all that, they were like, you're on blood thinners. You should stop. Now, I smoke marijuana. I smoke a small motherfucking forest. I'm not sitting here saying I'm better than anybody. Sure. Just alcohol is not there anymore.
Fine.
And I watch my friend too. Like he comes over and he brings his daughter, my daughter. By 9:30, he's had his old fashioned. He's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
He's done. And I'm playing with the girls and stuff. And I realize like, even if I'm smoking marijuana, if there's an emergency, I can get up and function. He is incapacitated. Yeah. Like he can't do shit.
He's an added danger.
He's a problem now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my lesser of the twos. That's the one I choose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, look, plus. One of my daughters said she went to a wedding and she was dead. You know, I want you to walk me down the aisle. She knows what she's doing.
How old is she?
She's 24. That's tough. The worst part is what you put your kids through.
Yeah.
You know. But the thing is, you know, I tell them, don't drink. Please don't drink.
Do they?
Yeah. Not bad. If they are, I will move in. I will not.
I will That's a
I will not allow it. You will not.
I'm using that too. Yeah.
You will not.
You fucked up. I'm moving in.
You will not be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Or an addict on my fucking watch. No.
Are they all close?
Well, you
gotta
let them live their life. Fuck you. I've invested money in these pigs. Yeah. What's that?
Do they all live close? Or you guys all together?
Yeah. Well, one's in Colorado at college. But they all want to come back to LA and so fucking happy. Yeah. My oldest boy and my youngest boy live with me. I travel so much that my youngest daughter prefers not to go back and forth. We live a block away from each other, me and the ex. And
oh,
so,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Two of them live with me still. And then one has her own apartment with her boyfriend. And then she lives 2 miles away.
Is what your daughter said the reason you really started?
No. That's just before. After. Oh, just as a reminder,
getting your liver checked and everything.
Oh, yeah. It was high at one point, but it's normal now. Yeah,
it's interesting to me because I have a thank God I've sat across from so many people who talk about alcoholism, and I can sit at a bar, drink half a beer, and walk away, and they look at me and say, "Nah." Then they say, I can't even have one.
No.
And they'll say, if I sit down, I'll have 20. And then they'll say, that's not an exaggeration.
And
I'm not
guess what?
Just saying Sorry. 20. Yeah.
That's not enough. I'm still going to go home and have one. It is a disease.
Once
you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic, and there's no going back. You will never not be an alcoholic again. That's it. Too bad.
There was a kid I went to school with. His brother was a year older than us. And it was just a few years ago. He hit me up and he said, I have to let you know my brother passed. And I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. What the hell happened? He's not even 50. And he said he never stopped. It's not funny, but this line, he never stopped drinking like we were in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. First of all, we're not supposed to be drinking.
Oh, no, you're not supposed to be drinking.
But you know, you're going, that's what you're going. Yep. You don't realize you can have a glass of wine. You're going, everything to get fucked up.
If you bought a six pack, you're going to drink a six pack.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so he said he drank like that. And then he woke up one day and his eyes were yellow. He just white at night, yellow the next day. He went to the doctor and they told him, we're sorry. It's too late for you. And within a couple months, he was
liver.
Gone.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to give a liver to an alcoholic. They're the ones that need them the most. But this should be some inflammation. Probably should go to the sober ones first.
Had you ever done AA and all that in your earlier years, though? You've been trying for a while.
Trying forever.
You have.
Yeah. And be honest, who gives a shit? My sponsor said, Dave, you're a hardcore alcoholic. Yeah.
Which is interesting because when I think hardcore alcoholic, I don't think beer. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think the whiskey, the brown liquors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, the white ones, you don't smell as much.
Don't be giving tips.
Well, that's why you do it. I switched to vodka.
And the tequila's got a scent, but vodka, huh?
Yeah. Then you're a bag of nuts. Sad. Sad.
I had a friend. This isn't funny either, but it does make me laugh. He was an alcoholic. And instead of getting help, he would scheme, like you said. And one of the things he swore by, and other people said it too, is he would keep peanut butter in the car.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah, huh? 100. And if he get pulled over, he'd eat it real quick, yeah, and they could not detect the alcohol in his breath, because I do think he would have vodka. He might have screwdrivers or something.
That won't be the breathalyzer, though, will it?
It won't be the breathalyzer, okay, but his it point is they're you not even going to smell it, and they're not even going to ask me to fucking get out of the car. And the other thing he fucking did, this is ridiculous, it's true, too. Instead of, again, going to get help, same dude, he got a priest costume. And after he'd leave the bar, he'd put the fucking costume.
That's genius.
That's what I'm talking about. And he would drive home with the priest. Nobody's pulling a priest.
If you don't love that man, you don't love yourself. I love that man. Wow. That's a dedicated alcoholic.
That's a dedicated alcoholic.
I just gave last wishes to a lad, and his wife wanted to have a little hot toddy, so I did. Will you pray with me?
Yeah, man. Wow. The mind of the alcoholic, the addict, I should say. Yeah, it's true. Not just alcohol. It's the mind of the addict, man. Anything like you're saying, you're thinking of every single, yeah.
Yep. God, man, I'm so happy.
Do you feel better now? Oh, you know it?
You have a chance to be present.
Yeah.
My sponsor said, Dave, when you get through this, you're finally going to meet yourself. Mm. You know what I told him? I hope I like me.
Dude, thank you for doing this, man. This has been really great. It's been great to sit and talk to you.
Damn,
and
it's done. I talk way too much.
This is what you're supposed
if you have
to do.
But thank you. Boy, we've been trying to do this for a long time.
We have.
You'd hit me up on Instagram, I think. And I'd said yes. And then it didn't happen.
I tell people all the time, the hardest part, and when we have lunch, and I'll tell you this too, about podcasting is getting two people to sit down in the same fucking room for an hour. It's really hard as shit. Especially the more people you involve, it gets harder and harder. Everybody's got schedules, kids, all that. It's difficult.
It's a tough town. You're busy. You and I are in show business. We hustle. You will never quit. No. I will never quit. Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Pedal to the metal, shoulder to the wheel. Let's go.
It's been great to have you. Before we wrap up,
yes,
I'm curious advice you'd give to 16-year-old David Keck.
You already know. Don't drink at all. At all. Don't drink, David Keckner, because you can't do it. Yeah.
That's great advice. Mm. One more time, promote everything you'd like, please. Your dates, your all of it.
Yes, website, David Keckner. David Keckner, KOECHNER on TikTok and on Instagram. That'll get you there.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.